Vectis Radio. Vectis Radio. FM 104.6. Bringing the island's community together.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
OK, it's 12:05. You're listening to Vectis Radio on FM 104.6. We've got special guests in the studio. Would you just like to introduce yourself, sir?
I'm Matthew Chatfield. I'm Communications Officer from the Isle of Wight Council.
It sounds like you're going on that... What's that programme with Anne Diamond? Is it not Anne Robinson?
What, really?
Yeah. We're going to start asking questions. Yeah. Also, who do we have over here?
My name's Richard Berry, and I'm the Programme Manager with the Isle of Wight Council for the Regeneration Directorate.
And we kind of know each other in a distant sort of way.
Yes, we did, yeah. I used to go to the hospice big quiz down at Lower Hyde, was it?
Yes.
You used to be the host down there, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
And I used to attend that quiz team with an old school friend of yours, I understand.
Yeah, Rod Warne.
Yeah. Still there at the council's insurance officer.
Is he really? You must have been there, man and boy.
Yeah, it's been.
And you as well? How long have you been at the council?
I've been at the council now, I think it's coming up for 14 years.
14?
2005, I think I started.
And Matt, how long have you been?
Well, I had a bit of a break, but I started in 1998.
Crikey.
So, then I did go and work for Gift to Nature for a couple of years, and I came back. I couldn't keep away.
How was the break? Was it nice?
It was good, yeah, very nice.
All right, and so what are you guys... We're going to be talking about regeneration, we're going to be talking about the Nicholson Project, other things as well. Newport Harbour's back in the news, and we want to put something... We want to correct something that's in local media at the moment, which we must make a big point of doing. But is it got any headaches at the moment? Anything that, stands out on the horizon?
Well, the Newport Harbour Project is... massive news for us at the moment, because it's all very exciting stuff. Hopefully that's not really a headache. I think that's going to be good news for everybody, certainly in Newport. That's going to really help. But my job is trying to keep an eye on when good news and bad news is coming. At the moment it's mostly good news, I'm pleased to say.
We do need that regeneration. We do need to move with the times, we really do. So I think around this place that we're at in Riverside Centre do fantastic work. You look around Newport and you look at the amount of people that we've got there, and you're thinking, well, jobs, we need houses, we need all sorts. There's more and more people moving to the island, and there's more and more people that need a house, and more importantly need a job. We can all, sit around and wait for something to happen. Simple as that.
Absolutely right, and that is definitely what the council is trying to do with its regeneration project, and also not just the council, the Shape in Newport, particularly in Newport, the Shape in Newport project, which is the council, Newport Business Association, and Newport and Carisbrook Parish Council all together. They're all got together to make a project called Shape in Newport, based on what everyone said in the consultation last year. And that project is doing all sorts of new stuff in Newport to try and do exactly that, to bring forward ideas and make things happen. And the Newport Harbour project, redeveloping that, is one of those ideas.
Do you find that there has been an apathy, and there still is, or would it appear that because you put it out to people can discuss it, more and more people are getting involved?
It's been very positive in Newport. And not entirely positive, as you can imagine. There's a lot of things wrong with the town, and nobody's shy of saying that. And and I wouldn't be. Everybody knows there's problems with traffic in Newport. Everybody knows that the High Street is having trouble in some places, although other places it's doing quite well. So it is a challenge for Newport, like any town. But people know about that, and they're coming forward and talking about it. And yeah, okay, there's plenty of people who like to have a moan. I mean, we all do on the island. We're brilliant at it, aren't we? We love moaning, but actually, we found, last year when they did the consultation, they had 15,000 comments.
Wow.
From people, and there were a lot of very positive things. People really love Newport, as well as despairing of it, they love it. And it's the heritage of it, and the fact that it's the island's historic county town, and the beautiful buildings and some of the really great community stuff that goes on here, and we're sitting here in one of them. There's a lot of things that people really, really value about Newport, and we managed to pull a lot of that out in that Shaping Newport consultation, which I think was really helpful, because it is easy to criticise, and there's nothing wrong with bringing up problems, and it's a good thing to do. But you've also then got to say, well, what are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
And that's where we're going now. The work down on Newport Harbour and the other Shaping Newport projects, that's the answer to those questions. You know, what are we going to do? And we're going to find out soon.
All right. So let's bring in Richard here now, because he's been sat there and he had a word to say yet.
I'm just a quiet Scotsman.
Didn't know there were any.
Let's deal with the negative first. What out of those people that, you know, 15,000 comments and people getting involved with so and so, what's the negatives that you're dealing with? What was their thoughts?
Well, I think some people don't want to see any of that sort of regeneration or development on the island at all. But others, there's loads of different considerations, and certainly on the Nicholson Road project, the main things for us are around transport and junctions in Ryde and on the island generally comes up as a major factor, because there is a bit of congestion now, and as more development comes along, there's only going to be more traffic. But it's also trying to look at things in a more rounded fashion. What sort of transport are we going to be using in future? And is it all just going to be cars? But, you know, the car parking is always one of the things in all the projects that I do comes up time and time again, as parking is one of those major issues that we... Because we all use a car on the island. The majority of people, not everybody, but it's a big factor.
How do we address that then? Because it's a major problem, and I say when we know that, you know, there's many houses going to be built, there's many houses that have been built, it throws out there, well, are we making the problem worse? I know properties now are probably built with, you know, places to park, but if they hit the town, they've got to park, be able to park somewhere, and so on. So how do we address that? It's huge.
The issue really is about transport generally. It's not just parking. I mean, parking is a symptom. It's not it's not a problem, because, you know, parking is fine if you've got a car and a place to park it. But actually, we're looking more widely, and the same as the rest of the country, at sustainable transport. And that's something the council is doing alongside this. It's not part of the Shaping Newport project, but it's part of it, part of what the council is doing. So, for example, one of the elements that's already been suggested for the Newport Harbour project is a pedestrian bridge across the Medina. So there could be, and this certainly isn't agreed yet or even planned, but there could be a bridge for people to get, say, from Seacloth area over to the hospital and the college. And a lot of people make that journey on foot at the moment, but they have to drive, and they have to drive if they're coming from Ryde or from the Sandown, say. They might be driving right the way round, going through Coppins Bridge and up, and be parking up there. But if there was a little bridge, then you would find that people could park elsewhere in other places where there's less parking pressure, or they wouldn't park at all because they wouldn't need to, because maybe they'd be living here and they would walk to work.
Sure.
And so you can find ways to design in a sustainable transport solutions. You know, that's just one example, but also you've got things like dealing with the buses, dealing with cycling, you know, because cycling is something we really haven't made as much on the island as we could do. We're getting there, and there's some big steps forward being made, but there's a lot more we can do. And the way we're looking at that in Newport, and also, as Richard mentioned, in Ryde at Nicholson Road, is when we're doing these schemes, when we're looking at making new places, designing them, and we think about, well, how are people going to move around it, and try and affect the ways that they do move, or if they don't need to move at all. If you've got people living and working in the same place, for example, so down in Newport you could have a few places to live and a few studios and a few shops and a few small businesses, say. I mean, that's not decided, but you could do, and that would mean that the people who live there could work there as well, and they wouldn't have to travel so far.
Okay, just coming back to, just want to clarify the there is a video out there in local media, and I saw this video this morning. I just sort of clicked on it and didn't realise too much what it was, but apparently this is out of date.
Yeah, this was there's like a fly through video that went out a couple of years ago. It's like it's not a picture, it's a simulation, so it's like a computer graphics of like a plane flying along the Medina, and there's some, like, some yellow buildings and things placed pretty much everywhere. So it it looks like there's plans to build all over the whole of the Medina. That isn't the case at the moment, because that's an old video of previous ideas. None of that was agreed. So the current plan, on the plan we put out yesterday, is literally a red line around the Newport Harbour area. And at the moment, none of those things have been agreed. So there's plenty of green space in that area, and I would imagine that's going to continue. It's not, you know, the video that we saw, yeah, I've seen that on some local media sites. Yeah, that was up for discussion some years ago, but at the moment, that's no longer relevant. And we're looking for input on much broader ideas at this stage. It's a master planning project, not the final planning application. So we're not going to get down to the detail of there'll be a house here and there'll be a shop there. It'll be more like we want to see housing in this area, or we don't want to see housing in this area. We would like people to work here. We think there should be a bridge there. We think people should travel this way. So much more general, much more overarching things that will help the whole of Newport and not just one property or two properties here and there.
Okay, I'm glad you came in and dispelled that and made that clear, because, as I say, it is very misleading if you see things. Although some of the things you mentioned, the bridge, there's a bridge across halfway up so you can go across. That's in this video, isn't it?
Yeah, I must admit, it's not a new idea, is it?
No, but I mean that to me, that one thing that I look at, I think that's a really good idea. That is. So I mean, that is part of it, but it's not. It shouldn't be. Look at this video. Yes, it's from 4 years ago. How sorted are we with? Are we still at the stage where we're still negotiating, still talking? People are still having a chance to.
Oh yeah, very much so. And I mean, a lot of the land in Newport Harbour doesn't belong to the council anyway, so there are lots of other people involved. You know, people. There are houses and businesses all around here with private landowners or other organisations own it, and they may or may not choose to be part of this, and they don't have to. But if anyone owns a business or has a property in the Newport Harbour area and they want to get involved in this potential opportunity to develop it and make it better with more jobs and prosperity for Newport, yeah, we want to hear from them.
Okay. Is there a deadline? When does things, when you say, we can discuss it, you put it out there for people to talk about, and there is a time frame on it, you've got to do when?
It's an ongoing process, so this is the beginning of the public part. We've been having lots of discussions with different parties up to now, but we want to hear what everyone's got to say. I mean, we already have asked that question for a lot of people in the shape of Newport, so we've got a lot of ideas from people generally, but now we're talking particularly about Newport Harbour in this particular consultation, so we're focusing in a bit, and it's going to go on for a couple of months, and we've got if you particularly want to get engaged or find out more, there's our little shop in Newport High Street at 30 High Street, and that's open most weekdays, so anyone who's walking through Newport High Street sees 30 High Street, which is just by the Guildhall there, pop in and have a chat there, and tell us what you think.
Okay. You haven't said much at all.
And well, I was just going to say, to add to what Matt was saying, on Saturday we are, the master planning team that's being engaged by the council are going to be at Park Run in Medina Park, isn't that? Just below, so I think they're going to be in or around Medina Theatre, but as it's the 400th Park Run, a bit difficult to say in that, we're hoping that they'll get sort of maybe 400 or odd people there. And it's just to engage with that group of people who use that facility week in, week out.
Right.
And to get, to engage them in the consultation and get their thoughts on what we're trying to do.
We should point out, it's not to tell them that you won't be able to do this in a couple of years' time, because they'll still be able to do it, won't they?
Yeah. I'm sure they will. As Matt says, there's a lot of green space, and activities like that will still be going on.
In the press release, it says something about underneath Medina Theatre.
Yeah, it's in the bit, under where that's where the Park Run people tend to gather, especially when it's wet. Just where you go into the theatre, there's like an underpass by the leisure centre.
Right.
It's just by there. But I mean, if you go and park up at Medina and walk towards the entrance, you'll see it. Because we're going to put up a tent, because it's probably going to be raining, truth be told. So there'll be a tent and some information.
Yes, you said earlier it was going to rain in, didn't you?
Chuck it down.
We were listening.
It's going to chuck it down on Saturday. So what about those people that don't turn up and don't run? Is this going to be something for them?
Oh yeah, there will be other events in due course. Yeah,
okay.
We don't have details of that for you today, unfortunately. But yeah, there's going to be further events for people to come and have a chat. Or as I say, there is 30 High Street open most of the time anyway, so people can just pop in and have a talk at any time. You don't have to turn up to a particular event because, you know, not everyone wants to go to Park Run. But if you miss out on that one, there will be other opportunities.
Okay, it'd be good to do because obviously, you know, otherwise you isolate people that aren't really interested in running. You might get some 75-year-old granny that is, shouldn't discriminate against 75-year-old grannies that don't want to run or don't run. But the facts are, the chances are that they're probably not going to. So we need to make it a little bit easy for them.
Oh, I'll bet there's a few 75-year-old grannies who love park running. And you'll be hearing from them very shortly.
You're just going to try and get them to go up there and see this, aren't you? That's I like that. I like where you're coming from.
I don't do any running, Ian, but certainly you can always walk it as well.
Yeah.
But people can always write to us at the Regeneration Team in County Hall or email as well to regeneration at
iow.gov.uk.
Yeah. As well as... going onto our website, and you can leave comments there. So we are always open to hearing what people love to say, okay. Good and bad.
It must be so difficult to think, right, how can we get everybody together and tell them or involve them? I mean, you pick one event, and yeah, okay, there's going to be, you know, if you say there's going to be 400 people there, that ain't bad. That ain't a bad success rate, is it? 400 people all at once. So, I mean, how do you do it? It's very, very difficult.
It is tricky, and you have to just keep plugging on at it, really, because, as you say, yeah, not everyone wants to go to Park Run, but that's a particular thing because it happened to be the 400th anniversary of 400th Park Run, not 400th anniversary. They haven't been running that long. But, it's the 400th Park Run. There are going to be a lot of people there, so we thought, well, we ought to at least go and have a chat with them. And there'll be other opportunities. So, like, Riverfest is coming up. That's a big event here on Newport Quay that we all get involved in.
We were there last year talking
to people about exactly this, and we'll be there this year telling them about more of it. So, you know, we like to have that. You've got to keep going, so you can't get everyone in one go, you know, unless you're going to get up on the main stage at the Isle of Wight Festival, maybe, and no one wants to hear about regeneration there. Well, perhaps they do. Perhaps we should do that.
In between acts?
We should form a band. No, we're going to be the act, mate. We're going to be the act.
You haven't heard me sing.
So I think that's a great idea. Yeah, obviously you've got to get it out there somewhere. You do a newsletter that I'm pretty sure it'll be in there, won't it?
Yeah, there's the council's email newsletter now, which is a relatively new thing. We've done four or five of them. We do them once a month. And that's quite a good way to catch up with council news and things that are coming up like this. Anyone who wants to do that, you can subscribe on the front page of iwhite.com, sign your email up to that, and you'll find out all sorts of stuff that the council gets up to. That's for those who want to be online, but you can just write a letter to the council and we will write back. You know, it is still we do it the old way as well.
Okay, just an idea. The website is so big, the council's website, there's so much on it. This is a massive project. Would it be better just to have a website with just regeneration and just, you know, so people can just go to, you want to know about regeneration, just type it in, there it is, website, no other nonsense around that you have to worry about, no other stuff, I call it nonsense, apologies, but it's just basically focusing on regeneration so you can see everything.
I think that's a fantastic idea, Ian, and I'm going to wave my magic wand and it's happened already. Can you believe it? I'll be serious. But no, seriously, there already is such a website because you're absolutely right. It is one of the biggest things the council is doing ongoing. You know, there's things short term that are bigger, but in terms of long term projects, regeneration is one of the biggest things the council is doing. So there is a website called iWhite Invest, and if you type in iwhiteinvest.com. It's a council website, but there's all the regeneration information on there. So
excellent.
There's a full page and a big map about exactly what me and Richard have been talking about today at Newport Harbour. There's another one about Richard's project at Nicholson Road that he can tell you more about, and various other things that we're doing as part of the regeneration effort. And that's for people on the island who are interested, but also it's particularly designed to help people who are off the island understand what we're doing. Because one of the things we're trying to do is attract in people who want to invest their money in the Isle of Wight. So we can sort a lot of stuff out ourselves, but it's also nice to get external firms and individuals involved. So part of that website is also aimed at getting people to come along to the Isle of Wight and see what a great place it is to do business or to live.
Okay, we should be shouting about that website now then, and if you haven't checked it out, you need to catch up. You're not too far behind because nothing's been done and dusted yet, but you need to catch up. You need to have a little look. So we need to be pushing people to that website so they can have a look and see what is going on and be a part of it. That's the most important thing. People need to feel a part of it rather than it's a case of, well, I don't care, and just turning your back on it. And, hey, look, whatever will be, you don't have a say. You can actually have a say.
Yeah, very much so.
And will you be swayed?
Well, the Shaping Newport project is a very good example of where we were swayed. That was a consultation, big consultation, as we said earlier. So a lot of people got engaged with that, and a whole new project was made for it. A lot of the work that we're doing in this current Newport Harbour work and some of the other stuff that's going on in Newport Town at the moment, it's all led by the people's comments. And one of the things they were particularly keen on is the heritage of Newport's county town, the Isle of Wight's county town, which is Newport. So that's something we've changed our emphasis on. We're trying to look much more closely at that, and keeping that heritage and the history and social structure of the town is something people really value. That's something that's been put in. I think there was another example in Nicholson Road of us taking some feedback on board, wasn't there, Richard?
Yeah, there was indeed, because the council did a feasibility study and looked at what we could do with this land that the council owns, and the aspiration being that it is employment land, but in planning terms it could be mixed use, and we could have had enabling residential houses built there. However, that was proposed, but really, given the number of consented houses that have been approved already in Ryde, the local residents weren't too keen on further housing development in the area. So what the council has decided to do is remove that enabling housing from the scheme and make it mostly an employment space, and invest directly into the site by the council itself to put in some of the infrastructure, because right now there is no infrastructure on the site. Mm. There's no roads, there's no drains, no utilities, and that's probably the main reason why that the site hasn't come forward commercially, because it has been available as an employment site since at least 2012.
Right.
So the council is listening, because we, you know, and it would be difficult. It's it'd be difficult bringing this development forward anyway. But when we are listening to what people have had to say, so we're trying to incorporate that.
Okay. What we're going to do? We're going to take a break in a minute. We're going to come back and we're going to focus on Nicholson Road. Is that what you're calling it, Nicholson Road?
Yes, that's what we call it in the minute, and I'll explain why and where it is and why we're using that term.
I just feel like a local soap could be born out of, EastEnders and Coronation Street. We've got Nicholson Road. Could be a bit of a saga, might not be. But just before we go into a break, there was a question that I was going to ask you. Do you walk far? Do you walk much?
I do. Well, yeah. I don't walk as much as I used to. Dodgy knees and all that sort of thing, but I don't run, again, dodgy knees, but it's one of my favourite things to do, is just get out and walk around places. It's the best way to get to know somewhere.
The reason why I say that is because we had Ollie Bolter on very recently, and I don't envy his job, because he's got to try and shoehorn X amount of houses in, and I don't know whether, it's right of me to say it, but I'll say it anyway, and you'll tell me whether I'm wrong. Is it one arm up behind your back, you've got to build all these houses, or not? He kind of said, no, it's not, but then you kind of then think, well, the government are sort of forcing you to build X amount of houses. So I don't envy his job. He's got this unenviable task of trying to keep everybody happy. And, I just think sometimes that we're overloading Newport. And I went for a walk one day. And I went up to Mount Joy. Have you ever been up to Mount Joy?
Yeah, it's lovely up there.
It is, and you've got this terrific view of Newport. And you look down and you just think, I'd love to see a picture from 20 years ago and what it looks like now, because there's just so much stuff in it. And it just tells you, you get out there and you have the chance to look at it from a great distance, and you think, no wonder we got all these congestion problems and traffic issues and so on and so forth. There's just too much in it. So do you ever think there comes to a point where Newport's full? We can't do much more with it. We can tinker with it and make things better, but we can't keep loading stuff into it.
Well, clearly that's the case for any settlement. You could say, well, that's enough now. And if that is the case, then there's still, as you rightly say, there's national planning targets that have to be met. You've got to build so many properties nationally. That's something the government sent down to every local authority, not just the Isle of Wight. So if you say, OK, no more properties in Newport, which you could say, and as you say, Ollie could make that decision and the council could agree it, and then we'd say no more properties in Newport. Then you'd have to put them somewhere else.
Sure.
That is the challenge that faces every town and city in the whole of England. It's not just here.
How difficult would it be then, Matt, if just say, for instance, we go for a walk, you and me go for a walk, and we go and sort things out. You can come too, Richard, if your knees are all right.
Yeah, sure.
We get up the top there and we have a little look and we say, look, all of that round there is full. You can't really do much more with that. But then you turn to the left and you've got all this greenery. Now, you know, OK, some people might want to keep the greenery because they think it's a good thing. But what would you rather have? A little bit over there, you know, a few more houses maybe, another estate. Or to overload that nice little area that we've got and make it, you know, not 10 times worse, not worse, but obviously it won't alleviate the issues that we already have.
That is, I mean, I'm sure Ollie explained that, but one of the proposals in the current island planning strategy is for new garden villages, which would be essentially new settlements. Now, that's not something that's coming forward in the next plan, but it's something that could be done in the future. So it's been suggested that if we were to decide to build new settlements, you could build one in the New Church God's Hill area, somewhere around there, yeah. Or you could build one somewhere in the West Wight area. Now, that has definitely not been agreed and is not even part of the plan for the next 10 years. But in the future, if we decide we don't want settlements to get any bigger, that would be one option. So it is something the council is already looking at. But I must emphasise there's been absolutely no agreement that should happen.
No.
Because, you know, we may decide never to do such a thing. We may decide that we'll just put extra houses on existing settlements, or there may be a change of policy and we decide not to build any more houses at all. But it is something that, you know, if it comes along, the council is looking at how it could be done. But it very much depends on national policy. This is not really entirely something that can be decided at a local level. We on the island get to choose, to some extent, where things go, or maybe what sort of things turn up, but the extent and amount of residential property particularly is something that is part of the national planning framework and not entirely set here on a local level.
What can we do to change that? Because they obviously don't know the Isle of Wight, they don't know the terrain, they don't know it like we do. And yet they're enforcing us with something that might not necessarily be in our interest. And you guys got this difficult task of making it happen and keeping everybody sweet.
Well, it is. I mean, we as officers have to find a way to make things happen that politicians decide at a strategic level. And essentially that level of decision is a political decision. So it's not something we council officers actually get to have a say in. We'll pass on people's views. And we'll deliver those policies when they get decided. But something that big and that substantial, a change in the way the whole nation builds its houses, that isn't something that we council officers can do. That's something we've all got to do by influencing the political process if we think it's important.
But do you know what I think we should? I think that there should be something passed where we should have control. And, you know, look at what the pig's ear they've made of Brexit. They can't make a decision. And I don't want to talk about Brexit, but you know what I'm trying to say. We are surely, you know, areas like ours, we are in, you know, you've been with the council for 14 years. You've been on and off for 20-odd years. Surely that entitles you to a much better opinion than most people that are within the government.
Well, I think Well, first of all, I think we'd have to have a change in the way our democracy works.
Can't we do that, then?
Well, we'd have to vote for that, wouldn't you? We have a national parliament, which has 600 and however many MPs in it, and they set statute. And the way it is today, we basically have a two-party system, don't we? And whoever gets in, and they make the decisions. And as we know, there's a housing crisis within the UK, and then the government's target is to build an additional 300,000 units per year for I don't know how long, actually, but that's the ambition of the government. And I think I think both, it doesn't matter which side of the political divide you're on, we need more housing. population is expanding.
See, I accept that. I don't see a problem with building more houses. I just think surely we should have a bit more of a say, and we can judge better where we are rather than some politician sat behind his desk in Westminster. Well, we're in a better position.
We do have that option because, you know, the planning process is the same on the island as it is elsewhere in England and Wales. But if we don't make those decisions locally and we decide against particular developments or whatever, the way the system works today, of course, you know, the developer can go and appeal that decision by the council, and it goes to the planning inspectorate in Bristol, and they make the decision ultimately.
So again, it's out of our hands, isn't it? I mean,
that's what does happen.
Does that frustrate you?
Well, it's the way our democratic process works.
Does it frustrate you though? Because do you wish that you could have a little tinker with it and say, do you know what? If we did this, it would be slightly better, and we could look after our own people better. I've asked an awkward question, haven't I?
You should be asking the politicians this question, as I say, sure. Not us. But sure. It is true that you have to look after your own people, but where are your own people? Because if you're looking after the whole nation, then yeah, we need economic growth in order to survive. We will not do very well if we suddenly stop all economic growth. That will be an absolute disaster.
Absolutely.
All our pensions would fall out of the sky. You know, that nobody would have any savings worth anything anymore. There could be all sorts of knock-on effects if we were to suddenly say, well, we're going to stop economic growth. That could be quite serious. So you could say, well, we'll be looking after the countryside by not building it, but at the same time, the value of pensions could decrease.
Okay.
It isn't as simple as that in any way, but those are the sort of level of choices that people at a national level are making. So if you're looking after your own, then you can't just look after one bit of it. You've got to think, well, where is that? Or you could say, well, maybe we're looking after people in Wellow by not building a garden village on their back door, but we're not looking after people in Newport who need a place to live so that they can get a job.
I see what you're saying.
It's a very difficult one. Once you start saying, oh, well, I'm going to ignore everyone else, it's a slippery slope. That's why we do have a system to make those decisions.
Okay.
And as Richard says, we have that system and we know how we can change it if we want to. And if enough people wanted to change it, they could do so.
Okay, I've got one more question and we'll take a break, all right? Because you must have come across these questions before.
Oh, yeah.
So it's best that we answer them. We don't want to sweep them under the carpet. You've answered it.
Well, up to a point, but I must say, you know, politicians have to take political decisions. We're here as council officers today.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, if you need to have a political decision made, that's what politicians are for. And there's a difference between councillors and officers like us. We don't decide those policies, but we help make them happen.
Yeah.
But there are big opportunities for politicians to make changes, as we can see across our country today. It's huge stuff. And that's where those big decisions are being made. But we shouldn't get disengaged from that. We all should have our say, if we can, and keep on having that say. It's easy to say, oh, it's too difficult, too complicated, we should let them get on with it.
Okay.
That isn't the case. We should just get on with it.
Just one more thing before the break, then. I look at what's happened at Pan. Okay, we've extended Pan, and it looks fabulous. I've got no issues with it. It's we've built Asda. We've got other supermarkets are available, and so on. And you look at Newport Football Club, and you think, okay, it's there for now. How many people go and watch Newport Football Club with 800 houses or 840 houses just being built? Have they got more people using the facilities? There's probably still 27 people and a dog that go and watch Newport at home. Have we got the same issues in the high street where, you know, places are closing and so on and so forth? And I know that comes down to internet shopping and things like that, but at the same time, we're putting all of these people in there. We're in an ideal world, we think, right, okay, the supermarkets are busier, the high street is busy, but it doesn't seem to be working out that way. So if we pack a load more people in, we're still going to not get those people using the high street.
Well, use of a high street is another thing entirely, but certainly I think it's true that we're never going to see a high street like you and I remember in our childhood with the, you know, Mrs. Bun and Mr. Mr. whatever. And you go down and you get your loaf of bread and then you get all of that is probably gone. But on the other hand, there are other things opening in high streets and streets. I mean, you have to look in Newport. You look at Node Hill and the shops up there. There's some quite lively stuff going on there. People have owned successful businesses up there. Not your traditional high street businesses necessarily, but they do exist. Cross Street in Ryde is another example. Stuff is opening up there. New things are happening. So, yes, there's some loss and some real big problems with issues with big units becoming empty. But there's also things starting up. So maybe if we get enough people living and working and earning money in Newport, then that's going to stimulate new businesses to start up, maybe use our high streets in a different way.
Okay, good answer. I like that. I'm glad I put you under a bit of pressure. You're getting quite passionate there, which is great. That's what we want to hear. It's 20 to 1. What we're going to do is we're going to drag in Oscar. He's got some killer questions for you. And we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Nicholson Road.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
With free home delivery, try before you buy, and free nutritional advice, Trophy Pet Foods produce exceptional dog and cat foods. We deliver British-made, natural recipes that are ethically approved, of uncompromising quality, and competitively priced. For British-made, premium pet foods delivered direct to your door, call Trophy Pet Foods on 01983 508 577 or find us on Facebook, Trophy Pet Foods, Isle of Wight.
Immerse yourself in the nostalgia of how railways used to be at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. Our genuine island locomotives and carriages date back to Victorian times and are immaculately restored to pristine condition. The one-hour train ride takes you through unspoilt countryside and woodland. So come and enjoy a journey with a difference at the Isle of Wight Steam Railway. For further details, visit iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Charlie from Red Squirrel Property Shop. We have a special promotion going on now up until the 31st of May this year, where if we do not sell your home within 80 days, it is absolutely free. Yep, no tricks, no catches, completely free. Give us a call today on 521212 or go to our website, redsquirrelpropertyshop.co.uk, and get us selling your home.
Book now for Bad Blood at Trinity Theatre Cowes. Tom had an affair that ended in abortion. His past is about to catch up with him in a terrifying sequence of events and murder. Don't miss Bad Blood, Thursday to Saturday, March the 21st to 23rd and 28th to 30th. Book now for this action-packed drama. Tickets £8. Call 01983 295 229 or book online. chaods.org.uk. That's chaods.org.uk.
Jack Up the Weekend is coming this Easter, the 19th and 20th of April, with headliners from The Jam and Big Country, and support from 3 Minute Heroes and Kevin 17. Tickets are available from Medina Leisure Centre or visit the Information Centre, Guildhall, Newport. But that's not all. We've also got two pairs of tickets to give away. To win the first pair, answer this question. How many UK number one singles have The Jam had? Text your answer to 60777, starting the message BR6TT. Or you can enter on our Facebook page. The competition closes at 5 p.m. on Friday, April the 12th.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
Welcome back to part two. It's the lunchtime social discussion. We have Matt Chatfield in. Do you prefer Matt or Matthew?
Oh, it could be either, really, Ian. Matt is shorter.
Okay, Matt. I'll continue with Matt. And Richard, is it Richard Berry?
Yes.
Do you play table tennis?
No.
Did you ever play table tennis?
When I was at school. But that was not here.
Oh, I'm trying to work out where we know you from.
Yeah, I mean,
I know it's not the quiz, it's something else. Maybe I've seen you at the council, I don't know. But anyway, this is you now, Nicholson Road. This is why you came in.
It is indeed, because I'm the project manager for the Nicholson Road project for the council. And just to explain to you what and where Nicholson Road is, it's...
Oh, I was going to do that, thanks.
It's in Ryde, it's in the East Ryde ward area, and then it's land adjacent to the existing Ryde Business Park, which... The fire station is there, Lizard are there. There are other companies on that industrial estate as well. And the council owns the land immediately adjacent there. It's between Great Preston Road, in the east, the railway line in the west, and Smallbrook Lane in the south. I think if I get that, my directions right. And we are looking to bring that forward as additional employment land and ride, because we know, yes, there's a lot of consented housing in Ryde, but we need more employment space for existing businesses to expand into, because there's not really any new or empty business units in Ryde. It's I'm not saying there aren't any, there are some, but there's not very much choice or new build, custom built units for companies depending on what their needs are. So we're looking to bring this forward as a mixed-use site, because at the heart of the site, that we're also looking that there'd be a community hub, perhaps with the medical centre, a community hall, a gym, that sort of thing as well, to make it more amenable to the local people as well. And we're trying to also, we're looking to link it into the existing cycleways, footways, and also into the countryside that's there, because it's just across the railway line from Swarnmore Meadows, and it's got a new name, Matt.
Pigleg Line.
Yeah.
Very lovely nature reserve down there.
The land as it is at the moment is unused grazing land, really, but it's not really open or available to the public. And what we would like to do is that we end up with using a lot of the existing green space and enhancing that so that it can be opened up to the local population to be able to go and walk your dog and just enjoy the green space, as well as work there and you know, just try and generally make it attractive and as much benefit to the people around as we can.
Okay, how far are we away from that? What's the procedure now?
The council put together an outline business case, and the next steps of what we're doing at the minute is developing a planning application, and that's what I'm working on at the minute. That is, we've done a lot of surveys on the site to look at the ecology, what animals and protected species might be there, and we know that there are some, that dormice and bats and red squirrels, but we need to do a lot more work to find out more about them, about the how much there are of them and how do we protect them going forward. And as I said earlier, there's a lot of consideration about the transport issues in the area, but we are hoping now, we're looking at hopefully by the middle of this year of bringing submitting the planning application, which will be looking at the whole site in outline planning terms and a detail for like the infrastructure that we need to build before anything can move on site.
So it's moving along, and how long do you reckon it will be before, you know, you get a yes or a no and you move things forward? And a completion date? I'm guessing you look at...
Date would be the completion to build out this... Because it won't be the entire site. It's just short of 15 hectares, and we're only looking... I think we're proposing to build about up to 6 hectares. So the majority of the site will remain... won't be built on. That's what we're looking at the moment. That will take many years to eventually be done, because it will be dependent on what the market needs. And so from beginning to end, if let's say we were to be able to get on site next year and start building something, I think it would be 10, 20 years, maybe more, before it was all eventually built out. I mean, I think the Ryde Business Park itself took something like... to where it is today took at least about 20 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. From beginning to end. So it's not unless suddenly we get lots of businesses want to come to the island, and
sure,
that would be great, because it's about trying to bring jobs into that area and Ryde.
How do you attract them businesses to come to? I mean, is that a plan that's ongoing at the moment, or is it something you can't do yet because it's got to be rubber stamped? How do you go about that?
Well, we're trying to make the development as an attractive a proposition as we possibly can to as many businesses that we can, and certain types of businesses, and in planning terms, you can only have you've got different planning classes, so we can't have, it will be businesses that can be close to or in the area of a, you know, sort of neighbouring to residential areas, just as the business park is today. But we're trying to make it as forward-thinking as we can. It's an ecological friendly site that's an attractive place to live and work, and then, you know, with the Gigabit Island rollout from White Fibre, if we can, you know, tap into that and have digital businesses who coming along that, you know, that are really, if you like, brain driven, these it doesn't matter where they are in the world, but if we can have fantastic communications facilities for them, they can, you know, that could potentially be a very attractive thing.
Okay, daft questions just popped into my head. We're having a lot of you know, building stuff and so on and so forth, and it's very hard to just imagine if you went back 20 years now and you said, right, we're going to build for the 20 years, a lot of us probably wouldn't have realized that the massive changes that we've got with internet and other things as well. So how do you like think of 20 years from now, how it's going to be? And are things being put in place to maybe pre-guess what is going to happen?
Well, like you said, Ian, I think none of us can possibly know what's going to come down the line in 20 years, but we're trying to put in infrastructure that is... as best we can, that it will accommodate growth. And it, as I say, if we go back to the fibre optics and that sort of thing, it's trying to put in place so you can enhance that if it needs to be. But it's certainly
okay. The reason why I ask is because I would imagine anyone that lives in Newport at the moment has been inconvenienced by pavements. Because of it, and I realise that what they've got to do, they've got the most difficult job in the world, is to put this stuff, this technical stuff, these cables into our pavements, into, you know, to, so that we can have all this super duper broadband and so on, or fibre, which is fabulous, because we need it. We need to move with the times. But how do you sort of can you ever, will there ever be a time when you're building a property? And you've got something in position where you can actually put something else in, you can feed other things into it. That's what I'm trying to say, because obviously when they built these houses in 1800 and what, they didn't ever think that there was going to be internet. But because we're building new houses now, you know, can we prejudge what's going to happen in 20 years' time? We have a rough idea of what we might need to, because otherwise all we do is keep digging up the pavements.
Well, there's certainly the case with the rollout of gigabit internet, as Richard said. That's a huge thing, and yes, it is going to be inconvenient in the short term, but it'll be much less inconvenient in the long term if this is successful. And there's every reason to believe it will be. The Isle of Wight will be one of the fastest and best connected places in England, so it will be very, very advantageous for us, because, you know, you're not going to come here to start a big manufacturing business necessarily, because
absolutely,
it's a quite an expensive place to do that, because you've got to ship the stuff on and off. But you can run a business that exports, as Richard says, brain-driven stuff, so intellectual stuff, internet stuff. And if you've got a good internet connection, this might make the Isle of Wight, instead of one of the least favoured places to start a business as it was years ago, it could be one of the best places where you could possibly do that because of the quality of life. And another example of how that is happening already is if you build a house today or you build a new building today, you've got to build in accessibility in a way that you didn't used to have to. So you're building houses today which will be suitable for someone in a wheelchair to live on the ground floor, whereas a house from 1950 wouldn't be. Even if the person who moves in there doesn't have a wheel, doesn't intend to have one. You never know. So today's new houses are not built in the same way as they were 50 years ago. And the reason is it makes it flexible so that we will have that opportunity to use those buildings in a different way in the future.
Excellent. Good answer, Matt. Good answer. I'm glad I asked the question now. This is Oscar. Oscar's got three killer questions for you.
Hello,
prepare
Oscar.
Yourself.
Hello.
Go on, Oscar, go for it.
What is your favourite place on the island and why?
My favourite place, I've got to say, is cows. We've lived there since we moved to the island. I just think it's a really great town. And the funny thing, I mean, I know we're talking about high streets, but in Cowes High Street, shops close and then new things spring up, and people have just these amazing ideas about what to do, you know, and things to sell and attract you in to do shopping. And then in the summer, of course, it bursts to life with, you know, the sailing community and all the rest of it, and all these, it's just a sort of, it's got a buzz about it. And even now in the winter, I think when we first came here, which is back in 2001, it was really quite quiet over the winter, but now it seems to be much busier, much buzzier, and it's just, I mean, I love it. I mean, I love the island as a whole, but if it, you know, that you put me on the spot there, Oscar, I'd say Cowes is my favourite place.
All right, Matt.
Well, my favourite place is Bonchurch Landslip and the Devil's Chimney. Ever been down there?
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to live there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, you know where I'm talking about then?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's on the road, sort of between Shanklin and Ventnor, and you can park up there and you can walk down, and there's an amazing like cleft in the rock. You go down into the landslip down there, and there's this like fantastic landscape of boulders and trees and ferns. It's like being in the jungle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really weird. I mean, I've sometimes take people for a walk down. If they come to the Isle of Wight and they say, I want to see some countryside, I say, come with me to this place. You wouldn't believe it. It's like being transported to, like, another world, you know, Jurassic Park or something, expecting to see a dinosaur. And you're just, like, you know, 10 minutes from a nice cup of tea and a cake at the Smuggler's Haven Tea Rooms as well.
Fantastic place. They were sharp. When we went, my wife dragged me down there. And I went down there and we walked all the way back up, and she had made this promise that we were going to get this big chunky bit of cake and the coffee, and they were closed.
Well, go back again, it'll be just as good.
Yeah, I think I'll divorce her. Got another question?
We'll tell her that. Harsh,
harsh.
Another question, you've got two, so you've got two more. So,
what would you most like to change about the island if money was no object?
Oh, that's a good one, Richard.
What would I like to change about the island if money was no object? A bridge over the Medina.
A bridge over the Medina. I'm glad you said Medina.
Yeah, let's not go there. That'd be great, wouldn't it? All right. You know, I would buy up all the old railway tracks and tunnels and reinstate the railway system with electric-powered light trams.
Wow, I'm liking that. Well, perhaps we should put you in charge of, head of trams.
Oh, yeah, as long as we get the money is no object bit. Oscar's going to sort that out for us, aren't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, that's the slight issue.
His dad's loaded. Go on, what's your final question, Oscar?
What is the best part and worst part of your job?
Coming here, I would imagine, the worst. Oh, you didn't deny it.
No, of course it isn't the worst part.
No, definitely not, no.
No. What's the best part? Yeah, I like to be involved with something happening that's new and exciting, and I've done lots of different jobs for the council. Some of them have been where it's, you know, services have been closed down and stopping, and that's been quite sad, having to tell people that you can't do something anymore. But with regeneration, which I'm currently involved in, and some of the stuff we've been talking about today, there is a possibility we can actually make things better for the island. You know, it might not work, it might do, but it would be great if we could actually make something happen and make it good. And I just like to be there and think, yeah, I could actually make a difference. And maybe I will, maybe I won't, but I like to feel that I'm in that place. That's the good bit. And the worst bit about my job, it's probably having to get a press release out really, really late. And my partner Kat is there tapping a watch saying, come on, we've got to go out for dinner. And I'm saying, no, I've got to write a press release. Honestly, you've got to do it right now. And then I miss my dinner. And that happened to me yesterday.
Apologies for that.
Yeah, it's all you right. Journalists, it's your fault.
Sorry. We want the news. And I say, we can't stress enough. If you give us the news, we can educate people. The sad thing is we're in a situation where people make up their own news and they're misinformed. And I'm glad you've come in this lunchtime to talk about, you know, everything that we've discussed today, that, you know, the regeneration around Newport, the harbour, Nicholson Road and Ryde, because it dispels myths. And that's what we need to do. And, you know, if there's one thing that we want from this hour today, is we want to involve the people that this is going to, you know, it's going to be affecting them. So get involved. And there are many ways where you can get involved. You can check out the website for a start. Yes, you can go to the council website and get lost, or you can go to that extra special one that you mentioned.
iwhiteinvest.com.
And you can take a good look around there. You can have a look at the other website when you need other things, but, you know, that's the one that you need to go to and have a really good look around. And you know, there are things out there in the public eye, Us media, we've got to take more responsibility for this. We've got to lead you, we've got to guide you in the right direction. We can only do that if you give us the information. So you've come in, and you come in on a regular basis now, and we talk about things. And this is the truth. This is honest. It's honest from you. And we now are in the picture, and we can make an observation, and we can put our five eggs worth in. We can say, look, we don't like this and we don't like that, but now is your opportunity. And we've run out of time. Thank you, Matt Chatfield. And thank you, Richard Berry. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Yes, I certainly will.
That's so brilliant.
Latest yeah. Radio, FM 104.6. Vectis Radio, 104.6. The heart of the